This morning, as we spoke yesterday about our topics that we would be speaking on for the retreat, I chose to speak about parrots. Now, the reason that I came to the conclusion of speaking about the parrots of Vrindavan was, as I explained, that in trying to bring together the transcendental nature of Giriraj, the exalted qualities of Sri Vrindavan Dham, and also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, interestingly enough, I came to the same point as Maharaj and also my husband, but independently. And that was to read from the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, specifically when he is in Braj. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he tried once to go to Vrindavan, but he was unsuccessful. And he claimed later that one of the reasons he was unsuccessful was because he didn't get the blessings of Gadadhar Pandit. Because when Lord Chaitanya wanted to go to Vrindavan, Gadadhar Pandit said, "If you go to Vrindavan, I want to come as well." And Lord Chaitanya said, "You have already taken a vow. Your vow is to remain in Jagannath Puri and worship Tota Gopinath. So you cannot break your vow." But Gadadhar Pandit said, "Wherever you are, my lord, that is Vrindavan. That is where I want to be. And let my vow of worshipping Gopinath go to hell." So Lord Chaitanya, he was inwardly very, very pleased with Gadadhar's exclusive mood. But externally, to set an example for others, he expressed concern that, "Gadadhar, you should not do this. You will make yourself infamous and you will make me infamous also for helping you to break your vow." So Gadadhar said, don't worry, I will follow behind your group. I won't go with you, but I will just be a little behind and I will go with you." And we know that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the edge of Orissa, he entered into a boat on the river there and he did not allow Gadadhar to go with him any further. Then he traveled to Bengal, right up to the top of Kanai Natshala, and there he decided that actually, on the advice of Rupa and Sanatan, that it was not a good idea to come to Vrindavan surrounded by many thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are all glorifying you and praising you and picking up the dust as you walk. As you take one step, they all take handfuls of the dust and place it all over their bodies, thus creating potholes in the road as you're walking. Thousands and thousands of people, the throng, the noise, the excitement. So Sanatana Goswami recommended you should go alone to Vrindavan in a very, very internal way. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this advice to heart. So he returned to Jagannath Puri and he spoke very, very sweet words to the devotees, such as apologizing to Gadadhar Pandit and saying that it was because I offended you that I could not go to Vrindavan. Without the blessings of the devotees, I cannot appreciate anything in Vrindavan. So this, of course, also applies to ourselves. Without the blessings and the mercy of the devotees, without the blessings of Krishna coming through the devotees, it will be very difficult to actually have the pastimes of Krishna soak into one's heart and make this very much necessary transformation that Maharaj has been speaking of so nicely. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to Vrindavan and he wanted to see all the places of Vrindavan. He came first to Mathura, and the people who saw him, they became so ecstatic to see him, particularly one brahmana who began to dance in the same way, in the same mood as Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu recognized, and this brahmana also recognized, there was something very similar in their mood. And later they spoke confidentially together, and the brahman admitted that he was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and that this ecstatic mood of love, such as the residents of Vrindavan feel for Krishna, particularly the mood of Radha, Srimati Radharani for Krishna, was the gift to the world of Madhavendra Puri. So then the Brahman said, "You must also have something to do with Madhavendra Puri, otherwise how could you have this flavor?" And Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, I am the disciple of Ishwara Puri, the grand disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So then the Lord and a few devotees, they began to tour around. And everywhere they went, the residents of Vrindavan immediately recognized Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though he was golden in complexion, he was dressed as a renunciate, very, very simple, no ostentatious dress, no beautiful black curly hair, no crown on his head, no flute in his hands. But as soon as the residents of Vrindavan saw him, they immediately understood who he was, and they flocked to him. So when he first of all, he wandered here and there in the 12 forests of Vrindavan, and eventually he came to Vrindavan itself. And there, first of all, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes how the cows, they saw Lord Chaitanya and they surrounded him on all sides and they began to moo and moo, and then they began even to lick his body, and he began to caress them, and together they were exchanging so much affection, the cows and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that when he wanted to walk from that place, the cows wanted to go with him. And the cowherd men had great difficulty in restraining those cows and keeping them under their control. So from there, Lord Chaitanya wandered here and there. He saw the deers. And the deers with their beautiful, beautiful blackish eyes, their eyes filled with tears when they saw Lord Chaitanya, and his eyes filled with tears when he saw the beauty of the deers. And he began to caress them. And they were not afraid to accompany him wherever he went. Then there's a verse in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Sukha Pika Bringha Prabhure Deki Pansham Gai Siki Gana Nritya Kori Prabhu Age Yai. This verse describes how the bees and the birds, like the parrots and the cuckoos, began to loudly sing on the fifth note, and the peacocks began to dance in front of the Lord. So not only were the peacocks so entertained, but so joyful because Lord Chaitanya was there, but even the inert living entities, the trees, the stationary living entities, the trees, and we can imagine for that matter, the river Jamuna herself, were all captivated by the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the trees immediately from their branches, they began to drop flowers, just like for the devotees last night we saw when we were outside. A little breeze would come, and the tree above would sprinkle us with her leaves, with his leaves. Trees are male, yes? And the leaves would come down on our heads as we were sitting there having our satsang. So similarly, all the trees would drop, flowers would come down on the head of Mahaprabhu, or they would gently drop down their fruits, and they would drop them at his feet, and they would bow down their branches when they saw him. So then he began to embrace the creepers and the trees, and cried very loudly. And what did he say? What did he tell them all? Everywhere he went, he said the same thing, only one thing to everyone. He said, chant Krishna, Krishna, chant Krishna, Krishna. And all the living entities began to chant Krishna, Krishna. Even the living entities who have no voices that we are familiar with, they too began to chant Krishna, Krishna, Krishna wherever he went. So then, as he was walking along, he saw up in a tree two parrots, just like we had the good fortune. Giriraj was giving us his mercy yesterday by sending so many flocks of parrots overhead. Whenever Maharaj would make a comment, the parrots would appear. And so they reciprocated with Mahaprabhu's ecstatic moods. And two parrots were sitting high in a tree. They flew down and they landed on his arm. And as they were sitting on his arm, Mahaprabhu began to caress them, and he was playing with them. And these two parrots were so overjoyed to be sitting with their master, their lord, again. And as they sat there, they began to vibrate. So one of the parrots was a male parrot, and the other parrot, interestingly enough, was a female parrot. And they both wanted to speak what was foremost on their minds. So the male parrot began. The male parrot, He wanted to glorify Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya wanted to hear him speak. So there's a very nice verse here. The male parrot begins by glorifying the glorification of Krishna, the value of glorifying Krishna. He says, the glorification of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is beneficial for everyone in the universe. So this is the first point that this parrot is making. Everyone in the universe is benefited by hearing about Krishna. There's nothing in this world that is beneficial to everyone. Something will benefit one group of people and it will cause a disadvantage to another. Only by hearing the glorification of Krishna can everybody's heart become genuinely opened and genuinely soft. And Prahlad Maharaj says that when hearing the Bhagavatam and hearing the katha of Krishna, one loses all envy, at least for the time which one is hearing. So he said, the glorification of Krishna is beneficial to everyone. And his beauty is victorious over the gopis. Now this is going to be a controversial point, of course, because here the male parrot is convinced that Krishna's glory is victorious. He says that Krishna's pastimes astound even the goddess of fortune. So anyone who has been around Vrindavan knows that just across from the Rasa Mandala on the bank of the Jamuna is one of the forests, the 12 main forests of Vrindavan known as Srivan. And in that forest sits Lakshmi Devi. And she's been sitting there, the goddess of fortune, for an unlimited amount of time performing austerity. She would very much like, because she is so attracted to Krishna's pastimes, she would very much like to cross the Jamuna and participate. But unfortunately, because she cannot give up her opulent mood, her sense of being the wife of Narayan, she cannot cross the river like the gopis and become somebody else's husband and roll cow dung patties and place them on the walls and do so many menial village things that the young gopis of Vrindavan do in such a sweet mood. She cannot do this. So she remains ever sitting on the other side of the Jamuna, thinking how astonishing and how beautiful and how sweet are the pastimes of Radha and Krishna that she as yet has not been able to enter. So then he said, the parrot said, Krishna's bodily strength turns Govardhan Hill into a small toy, just like a ball. Krishna can lift up and throw and play. And as Maharaj was saying, Krishna is saying, don't worry, mother, there's no weight on my finger. Giriraj is just hovering there, just above. He's carrying his own weight. I'm not inconvenienced. So in this way, Krishna loves Govardhan and plays with Govardhan just like a toy. The parrot said, his spotless qualities are unlimited and his behavior satisfies everyone. Lord Krishna is attractive to everyone. Oh, may our Lord maintain the whole universe. So this is the wonderful glorification of the male parrot. So then, after glorifying Krishna so beautifully, the female parrot wants to speak. And she wants to speak, as I said, about her favorite person. So she begins. She begins with a very simple but very poetic description of Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya is listening very carefully, and the female parrot replies and says, Srimati Radharani's affection, her exquisite beauty, her good behavior, and her artistic dancing and singing, as well as her poetic compositions, are all so attractive that they attract the mind of Krishna, who attracts the mind of everyone in the universe. So Krishna, he is called Madan Jagat Mana Mohan. Jagat Mana Mohan. All the universe, Jagat Mana, the minds, Mohan, he bewilders. But Krishna's Srimati Radharani is called Chitta Mohini. She bewilders the chitta or the consciousness. Chittete Puriya Aikya, Guru Mukha Padma Vaikya. The consciousness, the pure consciousness, transcendental consciousness of Krishna is bewildered by the beautiful qualities of Srimati Radharani. So then, Krishna, he attracts the minds of everyone in the universe. So who is great enough that can attract his mind? That is my mistress, Srimati Radharani. Thereupon, the female parrot finished, and the male parrot began again to assert his case. So the male parrot quoted another verse, wherein he described that Krishna is known as Madan Mohan. He said, "My dear Sari, Krishna has a flute, and he plays that flute so wonderfully. And when he plays that flute, he enchants all the women of the universe. All the women are attracted by the power of his transcendental flute. He is the enjoyer of the beautiful gopis. He is in the topmost position. He is the enjoyer. And he is the enchanter of Cupid. So let us all praise him." So what does the female parrot say? The female parrot then began to speak jokingly to the male parrot. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was struck with wonderful ecstatic love to hear this female parrot reply. So the female parrot replied jokingly to the male parrot by saying, "When Krishna is with Srimati Radharani, then he is enchanted. Then he is the enchanter of Cupid. Then he can be known as Madan Mohan. When he is with Radharani, he is Madan Mohan. But when he is not with her, when he is alone without her, then he is called Vishva Mohan. No, then he is called Madan Mohita, because he becomes, without Srimati Radharani, he becomes bewildered by Cupid. So with Srimati Radharani, he's the bewilderer of Cupid. But when Srimati Radharani is not there, then he becomes bewildered by Cupid. In other words, he is thinking, where is she? Where is Srimati Radharani? How can I find her? Because she is so attractive that she, says the female parrot in a very sweet way, is actually superior even to Krishna. So I remember one time hearing Srila Prabhupada speaking very sweetly on a tape and explaining who is Srimati Radharani, that Krishna's name is Madan Mohan. So how could anyone be superior to this person who bewilders even the cupidity that bewilders every single person, every animal, every living entity in this universe is bewildered by this particular aspect of Krishna. So how could anyone be powerful enough to defeat Cupid? And Krishna is the defeater. Millions of Cupids are seeking the beauty and attractiveness of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada said, so no one could attract him. He's so powerful. But she is so powerful, Prabhupada explained, that she is called Madan Mohan. And then he said very strongly, Madan Mohan Mohini. She is the attractor of he who is the attractor of Cupid. So this is the beginning of our talks and our hearing about the beauty of the pastimes and the conversations between the parrots. After reading this, I spent a little time going through my notes because some years ago I was interested in trying to write something about the trees in Vrindavan. So quite naturally at that time, I found little excerpts here and there about the parrots who lived in the trees. So I'm hoping that for the next few days we can continue to hear parrots' conversations backwards and forwards in Vrindavan, or of the transcendental services that the parrots of Vrindavan perform for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So I'll stop here for this morning. Thank you very much.